Welcome on. Welcome to one of the fastest growing parapolitical podcasts out there in podcast land. Yes, you are now tuned into the Paranormal Patriot. I am your host, as always, wearing the tinfoil hat. My name is Tom Velasquez. Thank you for joining me this week. Now, this week's show is going to be another plethora show. We're going to talk about everything. I'm going to be UFO alien contact. I'm going to talk about sea creatures in Lake Michigan that scare the living daylights out of me. We're going to talk about Representative Frederica Wilson's illustrious plan, what to do with haters, I guess you'd say. We're going to talk about what happened with Mike Pence. Now, the reason I want to talk about this is a lot of us may have been hearing that, oh, there was nothing going on. He wasn't even on the plane. Fine, we'll go with that. However, I'm getting two different, and these are from my sources, two different stories on this as to the fact that something actually did happen. This we know definitively, something did happen. Now, this something you may or may not have heard about. Regardless, you're going to hear about it today, and I'm going to give you both sides of the story that I'm hearing, because as I say, normally, when it comes from my sources, it's that point only, but I got multiple sources saying two different things. So I guess it's up to us to decide whether or not that this is something that we need to worry about, or is something that was just completely blown out of proportion. People were overreacting. So we're going to talk about that. So we're going to be all over the board on this week's show. So now at this part of the show, we usually go into the comment of the week. But this week, I'm going to alter that course a little bit. We're going to put the comment of the week on hold because I want to go into the tolerance of the left. Now, last week's show, I entitled The Tears of a Clown, and that was basically revolving around AOC's stunt where she took a film crew to an empty parking lot and made it look like she was inconsolable because of the quote-unquote inhumane conditions that these children were put in. Well, we all know that that is not true, and I made it a point when I posted my show of saying AOC is a clown, essentially. I basically spelled out what the show was going to talk about. Nobody else picked up the other stuff I was talking about, the paranormal. They just picked up on the fact that I am ripping on AOC. And I have got to tell you, the same people, and a couple new ones, I'll admit it, the same people come out of the woodwork. Guy by the name of Nick Strange, he hosts an 80s movies podcast. It sounds horrible. I mean, the premise is phenomenal. I wish I would have thought of it because I'd have a lot of fun doing that. But it's like two guys talking in tin cans, and all they do during the whole show is swear and drink and, you know, whatever. Teach their own. But the guys never listen to any portion of any one of my shows, but he always, always has to make a point. I had another guy say, literally tell me via comment on Facebook, get that effing piece of shit off of this page, you effing Nazi. Now, if that isn't tolerance, I don't know what is, because literally this was posted 10 minutes after I posted my show. I got this comment because it tells me when I get comments. So there's no way this guy listened to my show. All he did is read the program notes and said, oh, this guy's a Nazi. again, we cannot. This is why this country is so divided. First off, just because you have different views doesn't mean I have to hate you. And I don't hate you. We have different views, okay? For you to come out here and call me an effing Nazi, that's derogatory. You don't know me. You don't know who I am. You know my stance on politics. Does that make me a Nazi? Because you're trying to block what I'm producing and putting out for a very large audience, because a lot of my audience comes from these pages that I post to. So there are a lot of people that listen to this, but you and your Nazi fascism tactics want this post removed. This guy actually reported me to the administrator of the page. The administrator contacted me and basically messaged me, PR'd or PM'd me, and said, "Hey, what's going on?" I said, "Nothing. I posted my show like I do every week. This guy calls me an effing Nazi and wants that post taken down off the page." "Well, was it a derogatory statement?" I said, "Well, if you haven't read it," which I thought he should have at that time, but I said, "No. Basically, it is a verbatim of what I post on my Podbean account. There was nothing derogatory, unless you don't like other people's thoughts and beliefs." I told him, I said, "Look, I'll take the post down, but you are censoring free speech at that point." And he came back and he was fine. He says, No. You have every right to do that. I will let the guy know." Whether or not he did, I don't know. I had another guy. And this was a good one. I really enjoyed this one. So I posted it and he comes back with a comment. "Next week on my podcast, we'll talk about how much of a dickweed Tom is." You know, that I had to chuckle at that one. That was a good one. So I posted back and I commented and replied to him. I said, "I can't wait to see how that goes." Yeah, nothing. With a little smiley face, I said, you know, as I'm joking. And nothing. So I don't know if he's just like, "Okay, that guy's cool. I'll leave it alone." Or he's just like, what a dickweed. This is... just to let my listeners know, this is what I go through every week. Unless it's a paranormal-themed show from the get-go, I get hate mail left and right. And you learn to build up a thick skin. But there are some times it hits. When that guy called me a Nazi, that stuck. Then there's this website, and I've had issues with them before, and I thought I deleted them, and I probably did, but apparently they are on the same websites I'm on, Echoplex Media. And they made a comment to a comment that was made, and I think it was the dickweed comment, where "We've invited Tom on every week to debate, and he has declined." Well, first off, you're not going to call me out like that without me responding, so I responded. "I'm sorry. When did you contact me to be on the show?" And their response is, "There's always an open invitation. You just have to contact us." And I said, "Well, don't make it sound like you're contacting me and I'm refusing because I'm too scared to go on your show. I'm more than happy to go on your show and tell you my beliefs." And they responded, "Are you sure you want to do that? It didn't go well for the last couple of people." So I responded and I was curious. I'm like, how did it not go well? Elaborate. And their response was, "Well, it got to the point where they got so flustered, they just hung up and shut the show down." And I said, "Okay, so you have it already in your head that because I hold conservative views, there's nothing I can say to change your mind, that you're going into this hostile. I, on the other hand, am going to go into this and be ready to listen to your views, because there are some views I may listen to and I may agree with. But you are telling me that regardless of what I say, what I do, the whole point of your show is to be right. The host can't be wrong. Is that what you're saying? So you're going to hold me accountable for my conservative beliefs and say it's not going to go well. Haven't heard back. So Echoplex Media, if you're listening to the show, which I doubt you are because you're one of them that have never listened to this show. You just read the liner notes of the show and say, oh, this guy's a raging conservative Nazi. Let's get him. Let's pick on him. Pick on me all you want. I really don't care. Honestly, I don't care. I've been doing this for far too long, have made too many phenomenal friends, acquaintances, and have so many people that on a weekly basis tell me, keep up the good work. You're doing the work for the country. And trust me, I am by no means a huge nationally syndicated show. I'm not on the radio. I'm on a podcast platform. So I know my audience is limited to who clicks the play button. So you are clicking the play button. You want to hear this. And I appreciate that. So at that point, my audience is limited. It amazes me how many people have never listened to this show. Nick Strange, you are the biggest culprit, but have to put in their 2 cents. You have every right in the world to speak your mind. But let's be a little bit more professional. We're all in this together. Let's be a little bit more mature. If you're going to call me out, at least listen to the show. When I call out the fact that your podcast is crap, Nick Strange, it sounds like crap, that's because I listen to it. Simple as that. Anybody that comes at me and has their own podcast, I'll go and listen to it. Just to see what kind of commentator I have. What are they talking about? Are they just in it for, you know, let's get drunk and talk to people? Because that's not why I'm in it. Nick Strange, you want to get drunk, you want to get high, you want to swear. Every other word is F this, F that, and you think it's great and funny. Perfectly fine. You have an audience for that. Not my audience. I may swear every now and then on this show. But my point of doing this show is to inform people, to give people another option that they don't hear regarding politics. And it's also to fill the void of paranormal encounters and theories and strange things that you don't hear about all the time. Because there's an audience for that. Regardless of what you think about my political ideas and my beliefs. You know, you got to respect me for what I do. Because these guys that are out there, you know, they're sitting behind the cloud of the Facebook. Nick Strange, you are more than welcome to come on this show, and I will be more than happy to debate you. And that goes for anybody. Anybody that wants to debate me on the subject of politics, paranormal, whatever you want to debate me on, you are more than welcome to come on. More than welcome. I have given Nick Strange that opportunity. Haven't ever heard from him. He just wants to hide behind his little stupid emoji Facebook icon and just spout off his rhetoric, his hatred, and his where he thinks it's funny. Well, it ain't funny. I may sound a little bitter, I may sound like a cantankerous old man, but I'm telling you what, I'm getting tired of it. I can take the ribbing, I can take the Nazi comments, I get them all the time. But the difference is, most of the people that are doing it are listening to my show and don't like it. Fine. This show is not for everybody. You know, there was a time when I really, truly, truly tried to be center of the aisle on the show. And I'll call out Republicans when they need to be called out. But I found that I'm going against my beliefs. I'm going against who I am. And I'm doing it just to appease some people. I'm done appeasing. I am who I am. This is who I am. This is my show. I have a conservative paranormal podcast. I will be talking conservative views. I will be calling out Democrats, mostly Democrats, because their views vary 180 from mine. Call it like you see it. listen to my show. Send me letters that you don't like it. I don't care. But when you do send me those hate letters, please listen to my show. Don't be a dickweed and just hide behind the Facebook post. And with that, the public service announcement is done. All right, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back, and as promised, what I wanted to do last week but didn't do, we are going to start the show with the Night of the Goblins. I am infatuated with this story. This is the first, when I first saw my first UFO and got into ufology, this is the one that really stuck out, and it still hits home to me. I don't know why. I don't know what it is, but there's something about it. So sit back, relax, open that mind. When we come back, you are going to hear about the Hopkinsville, Kentucky, Night of the Goblin.
There is a time when you need force, no resource for me to enforce. My right of speech, my lead me horse, I bear the torch. Let's march forth, July the 4th, we set the course for this independent outreach. You say free, but I feel the leash and I release the beast. Sick of the YouTube clips where the gun go click and the cop don't miss and the innocent man is...
They are back for year two. Join me Friday, September 20th and Saturday, September 21st in Northern Michigan for another Out of This World event, the second annual Michigan UFO Contact. Spend the weekend listening and learning from special guest speakers who will be lecturing about UFO sightings, experiences, the contact phenomena, and more. Also, be sure to check out their amazing vendor rooms for unique items, creative works, psychic readings, and much, much more. Some of your favorite vendors from last year are returning, plus they have added a great new batch of vendors for this year. Everyone was so pleased with the location last year that they have decided to return to the beautiful Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. The resort overlooks the largest inland lake in Michigan, is full of windows, and includes a walkout balcony from the conference room and the vendor room. They have a fantastic restaurant inside, and the rooms, you'll agree, they are the best. Join me for another educational and refreshing event, Friday, September 20th, Saturday, September 21st at the Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. Come join me for the Michigan UFO Contact 2. And when you get there, tell them the Paranormal Patriot sent you.
I'm the Venus for your Mars. I'm the healing for your scars. I'm the nighttime for your stars. You don't have to look so far. Watering the family tree, ever after happily. If the earth falls to the sea, in your arms is where I'll be.
We already are, you and me, psychically.
All right, let's talk about some goblins in the night. These events happened August 1955, and they read like a Hollywood blockbuster movie. Now, this encounter would take place at a secluded family farmhouse miles away from the next residence. Two entire families became trapped and encircled by quote-unquote goblins from outer space. Now, this is a standoff that would last hours, well into the early morning, and would leave behind one of the most truly remarkable accounts. Also, it left behind evidence of something very strange having happened, as well as several battered, shaken, and in some cases, wounded witnesses. Now, as wild as this evening sounds and whatever these goblins were, the events of that night, they are still the subject of debate today. So just what happened that evening in the summer of 1955 in Kentucky, and how does it fit into the broader UFO and alien picture of today? So this strange night, it started just after 8 p.m. on August 21st, 1955. Billy Ray Taylor and his family were staying with their friends, the Suttons, after arriving from Pennsylvania. The Suttons' farmhouse sat about 8 miles from the small town of Hopkinsville, Kentucky. So, while fetching water from a well a little distance away, Billy Ray noticed a strange light in the sky. He said it appeared to be on fire, but with all the colors of the rainbow as opposed to the flame orange. He followed the craft, not daring to take his eyes from it. It eventually vanished over the tree lines and came to a stop in a clearing. He rushed back to the main house where his wife June and the Suttons were talking. He would claim he would see a flying saucer which glowed brightly with an exhaust all the colors of the rainbow. Now, most of the room would simply humor Billy Ray at the best of times. They would certainly do so now with his bizarre story. They would, by and large, dismiss him and carry on chattering as they were. At that point, though, came the sudden and frantic barks of the family dog, the barking of the sort that meant something was outside and approaching. However, as the dog was unleashed to investigate, he whimpered and crawled away underneath the house. The family wouldn't see him again until well into the next morning after the oncoming events. Now, after seeing what the dog did, everyone in the house now edged to the windows of the property to peer outside into the night. As they were peering outside, the dog's whimpers could still be heard. The Suttons' eldest son, Lucky, and Billy Ray stepped outside to gain a closer look. Lucky was the first to notice a green, glowing object heading in their direction. The others, too, saw it upon his calls. Now, as it edged closer, it was apparent that the glow came from a small, humanoid figure. To begin with, the strange, goblin-like figure remained at a distance. Then, as if it suddenly realized it was under the two men's gaze, it flung its arms into the air and surged towards the house. Both Taylor and Sutton raised their guns and opened fire. The bullets did impact on their target, but merely flipped the creature over. Unhurt, it quickly retreated to the shadows, allowing the two men to return to the house. It was then they saw another goblin creature staring in at them from the side window of the property. They then again opened fire on the menacing figure, and again, a direct hit only appeared to merely stun it. Within seconds, it once again ran for cover away from the property. It would become quickly apparent that more than one of these otherworldly goblins had taken an interest in them. Billy Ray, with Lucky covering him, went back to the door ready to investigate again. As he stepped outside, a claw reached down from above. Sat on the roof, one of the other goblin creatures had his hair in his grasp. Lucky shot at the silver-clad glowing figure. He hit it, but the impact only sent the strange beings floating to the ground. The bullet sent a metal ping sound through the night air. Once on the ground, it quickly vanished again. As the two men prepared to re-enter the house, they both noticed multiple glows in the trees surrounding the property. At that point, both respective families decided to take their chances, and they ran towards their vehicles. They sped away, never looking back at the sight of the glowing humanoid figures surrounding their property. Now, although completely taken aback by the strange nature of the report, the police who were witness to the family's statements were equally aware of the genuine terror and shock that they appeared to be in. Whatever it was they had seen, they believed they were, at least from their perspective, telling the truth. The police would escort the two families back to the farmhouse and investigate the scene for themselves. Perhaps telling of how seriously the police took the reports is their request to nearby Fort Campbell for military assistance. Although one officer did make a report of what he thought to be a strange glowing in the woods, none of the mysterious menacing figures surfaced in front of the police. They did make note of the extent of the damage to the property in the surrounding area, however. The military unit quickly did a sweep of the area. Shortly after 2 a.m., the Taylors and the Suttons would return to their farmhouse. Unfortunately for the two families, so did the mysterious goblins. With the police and the military units now having left, the two families again engaged with the mischievous beings. By 5 a.m., just as the sun arose over the farmhouse, the creatures began to retreat, this time for good. A report would appear in the Kentucky New Era newspaper the next day. The once quiet and peaceful farmhouse was suddenly the desired location for UFO researchers and investigators. The scrutiny and interest became so intense, the Suttons would eventually sell the farm. So here we stand, over 60 years later, and this case is still unsolved. There is still a large amount of interest in this case. Now, one of the most popular theories is that the family witnessed an aggressive pair of local great horned owls as opposed to aliens or goblins. Now, on the surface, this sounds quite reasonable. After all, their physical appearance could, depending on the perspective, match the descriptions of the witnesses, as they can stand at a similar height of just short of a meter or two. However, this seemingly sensible explanation did not please everyone. One UFO researcher, Jerome Clark, in his 1993 book, Unexplained, would dismiss this suggestion. Now, in 1993, if I'm not mistaken, Jerome Clark was the head of the Center for UFO Studies in Chicago. Now, the Center for UFO Studies was a UFO researcher, kind of like MUFON type thing, that was brought together and founded by J. Allen Hynek, the former government UFO researcher turned believer because he knew the government was lying about it. Well, in his 1993 book, he said that the witnesses who fired their weapons on the creatures distinctly remember the sound resembling bullets striking a metal bucket. He would further point to the presence of an odd luminous patch near the fence where one of the creatures was shot. Now, some would suggest that this substance was foxfire, which is a fungus that appears on decaying wood. However, according to Jerome Clark, this would also surface in the woods in the direction that the creature came and left. Now, he would state investigations by police, Air Force officials from nearby Fort Campbell, and civilian ufologists found no evidence of a hoax. Now, even claims from skeptics that several members of the family had been drinking on the night in question do not hold much weight. Of the eight adults, most were relatively sober aside from the drinks with their meal. Furthermore, three of the 11 witnesses were children and had not consumed any alcohol whatsoever. It would certainly appear that this would be more than a case of mistaken identity. So, this case, as I said in the beginning, has continually enthralled me. It has taken me and just wrapped itself around me to where I'm just infatuated with this case. However, I'm not sure if it's true or not. My biggest issue on this is the physical features of the alien creatures. The big ears, I can see the glowing, but the floating and raising their hands before they lurch forward does not, from what I've always studied and from what I know, it doesn't sound like any type of alien creature that I know of. Now, for those of my alien following and investigating listeners, a lot of you will say, well, there's pictures. Any alien book will have that type of creature in there. Well, and that's because of the Hopkinsville case. Because this is such a widely known case, that is the alien that they're going to put in there. It's a goblin-like alien. So that's a type of alien. The problem I have is there's never, ever, ever been another sighting of an alien that looks like that and acts like that. So was it? I don't think it was a great horned owl. Great horned owls don't take bullets and flip and float down to the ground. And I don't know them too much to be walking through the forest. I would think they would be flying and peering in through people's windows. I just don't. But put yourself in their shoes. Imagine, just imagine, even if it's not real and what they're seeing is a misidentification. These people would have absolutely had to have been terrified. You know, you get done shooting one and it runs away and you turn around and there's another one looking into your window. And then when you go out the front door, there's one that grabs you by the hair from the roof. Regardless of the veracity of the story, the truthfulness, it's a scary situation I wouldn't want to be in. So let me know what you think. Is the Hopkinsville, Kentucky, for those of you who know it, is that a legitimate alien UFO sighting? Was it another type of cryptid that we don't understand? Did the fact that the guy saw a flying saucer prior to this have anything to do with the encounter that the family had after? Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net, and let me know. All right, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back. I'm going to talk to you about Representative Frederica Wilson, insane. And then we're going to end the show on what exactly happened with Mike Pence. This is a subject you're going to want to hear about because I need your help with this one. I'm hearing two sides of the story, and I don't know which one to believe. So sit back, relax. You're going to have to open that mind big time. I'm going to need your help. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot, and I will be right back.
Tiptoe as I walk the line. You make moves while I'm making mine. But I'm already too behind. Let's stop the tape and hit rewind. Sit back and I contemplate a new way to negotiate.
September 21st and September 22nd, 2019, at the Mothman Museum in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. The 18th annual festival that celebrates the legend known only as Mothman in downtown Point Pleasant, West Virginia. There will be live music, guest speakers, special appearances and events, festival food, a TNT area tour, a Mothman statue, Mothman hayride, you'll visit the Mothman Museum, and much more. This is the Mothman Festival. So be there September 21st and 22nd in Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
Hey everybody, this is Tom Balassis, the host of The Paranormal Patriot, which can be heard every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up. Are you intrigued by the paranormal? Do conspiracies excite you? Do you like to talk about ghosts, UFOs, or cryptids, or just politics in general? If so, my show, The Paranormal Patriot, is for you. Tune in every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up.
Alrighty, so the hat-wearing Democratic representative from California, Frederica Wilson, has reached a new level of insanity this week, and I'm going to let her tell you her thoughts, and I applaud her for her thoughts, although they are insane and very scary, very troubling thoughts, because people have no brains in their head and will hear her and say, yes, that's a good idea. Now, the clip you're about to hear is somebody's asking her something. I can't even make it out. Don't care what it is. But she comes back with a comment that should scare every single one of us. Because if this isn't Nazism, I don't know what is. So straight from the horses with the hat's mouth, here's Representative Frederica Wilson on her views on people who disparage members of Congress.
Those people who are online making fun of members of Congress are a disgrace. And there's no need for anyone to think that is unacceptable. We're going to shut them down and work with whoever it is to shut them down, and they should be prosecuted. You cannot intimidate members of Congress, threaten members of Congress. It is against the law, and it's a shame in this United States of America.
So there's no reason to think that this is unacceptable. Does that even make sense? Because to me, that doesn't make sense. But secondly, we who are mocking you are paying your salary. You are our employees. So if we want to mock you, we can mock you. I'm not going to say we should threaten you. Threatening or threatening to kill a member of Congress is a punishable offense. But people like me, and trust me, I'm one of the people she's discussing. I should have every right in the world to discuss AOC, hat-wearing Frederica Wilson, Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, whoever I want, because these people work for me. So the ironic thing about this is if a Republican came out and said this, that we are being ridiculed,
made fun of. The people that are doing this need to be prosecuted and apprehended. The media would be all over this. Oh, there's some Nazi tactics. There's nothing. The media just acting like this is no big deal. But it is a big deal. Because it's a big deal. Because if you look at it, rounding up what essentially we are being called dissidents at this point. People like me, Rush, Sean, Mark, anybody else that has their own conservative-leaning political show are dissidents in the eyes of the Democrats. When you're a dissident, you round it up, and you're really never heard from again. This is a tactic of Soviet Russia. This is a tactic that was all too common in Russia and China and Vietnam and Cuba, where if you talked out against the government, you weren't seen or heard from again. Your family didn't know where you were. Men came in the middle of the night, rounded you up, and you were gone. That is, and how it started was they would arrest these people. They would prosecute them. It's a slippery slope. Everything I'm talking about that the Democrats want to implement is a slippery slope. It's another freedom taking away. Anytime you talk out against your government, you run the risk of being prosecuted. That's not America. The problem is there are too many people out there that believe this nonsense. This is how far left the Democratic Party has gone. There is no Bill Clinton centrist. There is no, I mean, the Democratic Party right now makes Barack Obama look like almost a Republican. Because they are so radical, so far left, they used to hide it. Now they're just full on open because they know that the new generation that's voting and coming up, they're all for it because they don't want to work. They don't want to have any responsibility. That's exactly what these people want, is they don't want accountability. They don't want to have to work. They want everything handed to them. They want to be told what to do. Bam, everybody's equal. Everybody gets a trophy. That generation, they get upset when somebody does better than them because they didn't get that opportunity, but they have that opportunity. And for Frederica Wilson to come out and say, hey, if you talk bad about Congress, you have the risk of being prosecuted on my behalf, for my family's behalf, is a very scary proposition to think about. Most of my listeners of this show, that's very scary. If you make a political post, anti-Democrat, pro-Republican, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you go, you can be prosecuted for that under what Frederica Wilson said. Now, a lot of people will say, oh, Tom, she was just appeasing her voters. She doesn't mean it. But again, there are so many people that don't think for themselves now. All they do is listen to these politicians and just regurgitate exactly they said. This is how movement starts. This is how 9-month-old babies are born and killed right there. That's how it started. Is somebody's just said it, and all of a sudden it just grew. Next thing you know, New York is applauding the fact that they're murdering 9-month-old babies that have just been born. They're applauding that. I find it funny how the Democrats, who are so humanitarian, they want to help all the people. I find it funny how they don't care one bit about the American citizens. All they care about are the illegals. They don't care about human rights. But they're the Human Rights Party, but that only is if you're not from this country and you want to come here. Because if you are in the process of being born in this country, you have no rights. You're not even a human being at that point, according to the Democrats. And if you are a citizen of this country, you literally have, there's different rights. And the people that are coming here illegally have more rights than you and I. How does that work? I mean, honestly. Tell me in what parallel universe that honestly makes sense. Frederica Wilson, Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, AOC, Cory Booker, Kamala Harris. This is your Democratic Party, ladies and gentlemen. Now, for those of you, and I did it. I went back and I watched the Democratic debates. I did it, and it just, oh my gosh, it pained me. But I did, because I want to get both sides of the story. And I've seen it before, and I noticed it when I watched it. There wasn't an American flag noticed anywhere during those debates. Nowhere. And every single person during both debates, every single one of them said they would want the American citizen, they would expect the American citizen to pay for the health care of an illegal immigrant. Now, how ridiculous is this? When Obamacare was given to us as the illustrious health care plan, when that was bestowed on us, for those Americans that did not have it, if they did not have any insurance, those Americans were fined because they did not have insurance. But they are going to give illegal immigrants free insurance. Ladies and gentlemen, you're making Americans pay for insurance. And if you don't want to pay for insurance, you will get fined. You will have to pay for it regardless one way or another. But if you come into this country illegally, it is just handed over to you on behalf of the American taxpayer. Again, what is going on? When did reality flip? When did common sense leave the building? Because none of this makes any sense to me whatsoever. None. I can't make heads or tails out of it. Every time I think there's no way that the Democrats can top their last fiasco, they come up with an illustrious new plan. You know, never in a million years did I think that it would be legal to terminate the life of a newborn baby. Think about it. The newborn baby is now born. We have the right to kill him, her, in New York. It's because the mother, you know, the mother has, she's got a right to choose. You know, what about her body? She carried it. All right, what about the father? When did the father's rights come into this? When do the baby's rights come into this? Because at what point, Democrats, does a baby become a human that has rights? And where's the UN in this? You know, I hate the UN. Where's the Vatican on this? I don't agree with the Pope at all. They're quiet. Nothing's being said. It's okay at this point to terminate the life of a newborn baby. How scary is that? But to millions of Americans, that's okay. Really? So where's the line drawn? We can kill newborn babies. How much of a stretch is it to say if you don't agree with the Democrats, you're going to be thrown in jail? Listen, the Democrats, Kathy Griffin, can post a video online of her holding the severed head of Donald Trump, and that's just art. But people like me that are online talking about how the Republicans and the Democrats and Congress in general are worthless and they're not doing their jobs, that's a punishable crime? Where do you draw the line? I mean, Kathy Griffin gets away with it. I say AOC is a clown. That makes me a criminal. At what point? Really, I mean, how far over the line do we have to go before we're morally bankrupt? Because we're really getting close if we're not there already. This is scary. This is a scary time to live in America. You know, the economy's booming. Trump's doing great. But the things that are happening in the Democratic Party, I mean, come on. And there's a very real shot that they are going to win the next presidential election in 2020. That is scary. Can you imagine this country in 4 years, in 2024, with the Democrats in control? It will be the shell of itself. Wake up. You know, every time I think after the Democrats pull a stunt, I'm like, this has got to be the one that just drives these people away in droves. They're just robots. They just follow it. And I mean, there are a lot of soulless, heartless, moralist people in this country. And it's scary how far we've fallen, how quickly.
and life taught me.
Really, just truly scared. Tuesday. All right, I'm going to take a very, 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 very quick musical break here. When we come back, I'm going to talk to you about what happened with the Mike Pence situation, because I need some help. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez.
Real life, be right back. Everyone got parents to love them, not everyone got a shoulder to lean on when they're struggling. We ain't all got people to hug us, even get told enough that we're important and worthwhile, but it don't mean we aren't. Trust me, I know the story, cause I have the story in me. To tell you that even it's never communicated, you are worthy of love. You're worthy of kindness and the patience. You a dream that is worth chasing and an endless inspiration. And if anyone's is different, well, fuck them cause they're clueless. The obstacles, learn to use them till we grow enough to lose us. Get rid of the demons and quietly a word of the spirit. Say you're full of so much bullshit and I'm just so tired of hearing how I...
All right, earlier this week, VP Mike Pence was supposedly on a plane for a New Hampshire visit. And he was abruptly called back to D.C. for an unspecified reason. Now, according to Cvine.com, Vice President Pence was called back to Washington on Tuesday for what was initially described as an emergency as he canceled a planned visit to New Hampshire. Officials did not offer any details on the situation, but later sought to downplay the change of plans. According to the officials, something came up that required the VP to remain in Washington, D.C. Now, this is according to Pence spokeswoman Alyssa Farah. It is no cause for alarm. He looks forward to rescheduling the trip to New Hampshire very soon. Now, a senior White House official told reporters the situation is not health-related for Pence or President Trump and is not related to national security. Pence was scheduled to visit Salem on Tuesday to participate in a roundtable discussion and deliver remarks on the opioid crisis and illegal drug flow in New Hampshire. Now, here's where it gets odd. There are conflicting accounts as to whether Pence was actually en route to New Hampshire when he was called back. Shortly before the vice president was scheduled to arrive, an announcer at the event told the crowd that Air Force One had been diverted back because of an emergency callback. Randy Gentry, a representative of Pence's office, told the crowd, "We do have a situation where the vice president was called back to Washington." But Farah later denied that it was an emergency callback, saying Pence never left Washington. That is where it gets odd. Now, I've had a lot of my sources say, yes, Pence never got on the plane, nothing to worry about. But I have a couple of sources, and one of them has not failed me yet, that says, do not let the news tell you otherwise. Pence was on that plane. And he was back, and he was called back, and I quote, because an American submarine was torpedoed and sunk off the Alaskan coast. That is according to my source that hasn't been wrong. So what is it? The White House is still denying that there was an emergency. The White House is still denying that Mike Pence ever got on that plane. But listen, in my history and from what I've seen in the news, if you have multiple news outlets reporting that, in this case, Mike Pence was on the plane and then they're all retracting their story, there's a reason they're retracting it. It's because they don't want you to know. Now, again, it gets really, really, really interesting because Vladimir Putin called an urgent meeting with defense chiefs hours after 14 sailors died in a mystery submarine blast. Vladimir Putin canceled his schedule for a meeting with his defense minister, Sergei Shoigu. It came as U.S. Vice President Mike Pence was called back to Washington for an undisclosed emergency. The announcements came at exactly the same time, but we're not sure if the two are related. The White House and the Kremlin would not say the reason for the change of plans. Okay, so, again, I don't understand what is going on here. I've got a lot of people telling me Mike Pence did not leave. I've got numerous people telling me Mike Pence did leave. I've got reports of a submarine that was sunk off the Alaskan coast by a Russian submarine. There was a conflict between two submarines, a Russian submarine and a U.S. American submarine, and a torpedo fight ensued, and the American submarine was sunk. The Russian submarine took some pretty heavy damage, and 14 of their sailors lost their lives because of a fire. That was the initial report coming out that I received before I received the news that Vladimir Putin canceled a meeting because of an incident where 14 Russian soldiers lost their lives in a fire on a submarine. I mean, what's the coincidence? And I know I can hear you guys over my headphones here talking to me saying, Tom, we would have heard about something like this. No, you wouldn't. In my opinion, the fix is in on this one. They don't want you to know. Something is going on. Listen, multiple news organizations were reporting that Mike Pence was in the air towards New Hampshire and he got called back. And then the story changed with those multiple news sources that said, oh, yeah, he wasn't even gone. This reminds me of the Sandy Hook incident where every news agency was reporting a second gunman. The news helicopters, I remember, numerous people remember seeing the cops chasing a second person in the woods and then bringing him out in handcuffs and putting him in the back of the car. I specifically remember that. Many people I talked to remember seeing that. But now all of a sudden it never happened. Disregard. It never happened. It was never a news story. And you never hear about it again. And all the news footage of it is gone. If they want to kill a story, they can. And this reeks of the exact same thing. Multiple news agencies reporting something. All of a sudden, multiple news agencies changing their story. Nothing happened. And now go back to normal. I don't get it. Again, my source that has not been wrong yet states that off the coast of Alaska, American and Russian submarine got into a conflict. The American submarine was sank with its soldiers. The Russian submarine was severely damaged, got back to port, but 14 of its sailors died in a fire. Now Vladimir Putin is talking about that fire. Did we just have a conflict with Russia? Is that why Mike Pence was brought back? Because they're not saying why he was brought back. You want to end the speculation? Just say, yeah, you know, his kid had a cold, had to be picked up from school or whatever. You know, his wife was sick. I don't know. But to bottle it up, obviously it's a matter of national security at that point. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you've heard. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Now, I didn't think I'd be able to get to this, but I'm going to make this real quick. Lake Michigan may have its own sea monster swimming in it. Now, this is right off of the pier in South Haven. And as I stated, South Haven is about 6 miles from where my family and my brother and his family are going camping in a week. Scary, because we are camping right on Lake Michigan. Now, there was a camera set up to watch the lighthouse and the pier in South Haven, but it captured the video of something swimming in the water that looks normal or larger than anything normally seen in the lakes. Now, this is a 52-second video, and it isn't clear enough to determine exactly what was swimming near the pier in the bottom portion of the screen. Hey, by the way, I'm going to put up an Instagram account for the Paranormal Patriot, and this will probably be my first video. I want you to see this one. But it does have enough to show whatever it was in that video. That video shows that it is huge. The object has been called the sea monster by some who guessed it could be a very large lake sturgeon or a huge snake. Others joke that it's a mermaid or simply a plastic drain pipe. Whatever it is, it appears to poke its head out of the water before slinking its way toward the pier. After stopping underneath it for a few seconds, it jumps back in the water quickly. The object appears to have a large tail, and it appears to have a dorsal fin and a forked tail. It's unknown where the object came from or if others have seen it near the pier recently, but as one commenter said, either way, I won't be going into the lake anytime soon. Thank you for echoing my sentiments. Listen, I've seen the video. The waves are crashing. Lake Michigan right now is feet above record levels. It is so high that they are closing the piers to the lighthouses because the waves are just crashing over them and it's not safe for people to walk on them. On this particular day, you can see the waves are just crashing and all of a sudden you see this dark object in the water and it looks like it pops its head out. You see it look like it tried to jump on the pier, but it slides back down. You don't see it for a second, and all of a sudden you get another wave, and bam, it's right on the pier. And if this is a snake, this thing is absolutely horrifically huge. There is no reason the snake that big should be in Michigan. If it's a sturgeon, that is the biggest sturgeon I have anybody has ever seen. But it is round, it is black, and it is long. So it looks like, for all intents and purposes, a snake. Then you see it kind of go to the edge of the pier. And it just sits there, and the waves are coming over, and it's getting sloshed around by the waves a little bit. But the scary part is then you see it start to slither, and then bam, it just jumps right off the other side of the pier into the water, not to be seen again. I don't think it's a drainage pipe. If it was a drainage pipe, it wouldn't move like that. You wouldn't see it jump, try and jump up on the pier, didn't make it, come back down because of the waves, and then try it again, make it, and then kind of slither off to the corner of the pier, and then go off to the other side of the pier on its own. I'm going to post this video, and I want you guys, it's going to be the Paranormal Patriot on Instagram. This will be my first video. I want you guys to see it. So let me know what you think. That's going to be the end of the show this week. Let me know what you think about everything I talked about. Hopkinsville, Frederica Wilson, Mike Pence, and the sea monster. Go to the Instagram page, follow the page. That's where I'm going to put all my videos because that seems to be the place to be. So catch me up on Instagram. Thank you for listening to the show. It has been another fun-filled show for me to do. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I may be here next week. It's going to be really, really close. I think we are leaving for camping on Friday. We're actually going to leave after I get out of work on Friday, possibly. I will probably post the show later on this week instead of on Sunday for next week's show. This show will be posted regular time. Next week's show will probably be posted earlier so I can have something on. So thank you for listening. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. This is your host, taking off the tinfoil hat. My name is Tom Velasquez. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you next week. You're too young to be on that bridge. You're too young to be still.